Sean Patrick Maloney, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are particularly happening in your district. One of them, as a Hudson Valley representative, is the, you know, the FERC group, which is the energy regulator. And what's happening down there in terms of a capacity zone?
Well, as you know, we had a big fight about this. And working across the aisle, I passed legislation in the House that would have stopped it. We didn't get it through the Senate. And they've been moving ahead with this thing. It's been cushioned a little bit because we've gotten some relief in other areas. But it's been a bad idea from the beginning. It's been shoved down our throats by an unaccountable federal regulator called FERC. And we have been successful in getting some new language in there that's going to require them to get more local input in the future and to do these things differently. But this has been something that I inherited, and we worked heroically to stop it in a bipartisan way. That's been pretty well documented, and we're still in that fight. There was some litigation that has also not been successful. So I'm afraid they might we may not be able to stop this one at this stage. I don't want to give people false hope, but I'm still working on it.
Now, Sean, there are people who are listening right now who have no idea what the central issue is.
Right.
Could you give us that?
Yeah, sure. So people know there's a federal energy regulator that has the ability to raise the supply prices arbitrarily, and that, I shouldn't say arbitrarily, for reasons they believe make sense, which is designed to create more capacity, meaning more generation in the Hudson Valley, and that was the idea behind this thing. A lot of us said you don't need to jack prices when you're coming out of a recession that'll hurt middle class families. What you should do instead is you should work on alternatives like better transmission and things like conservation and other ways to increase capacity without simply raising prices, which is designed to attract more generation. So we just had a disagreement on the best way to go about increasing capacity, and I thought it was a mistake to raise $250 million of energy costs in the Hudson Valley when folks are coming out of a tough winter trying to pay these bills.
Sean, switching topics, all around the world, when immigrants, for very good reasons, are forced to leave their homes to come into other countries, people say, shut the door. There's always been a push in this country for immigration reform. The president came up with a plan. Others have done it. But when you talk to the people in your district, what are they saying about the prospect of having more immigrants come in? Are they worried about their jobs being taken away or what?
No, what I hear is that people are frustrated that Washington can't get its act together on this. I mean, if you talk to farmers, what they say is, they don't have some big back office compliance department. They sit at the kitchen table and try to figure out this H-2A guest worker program every year. And why can't we do it on a multi-year basis? And why can't we streamline it? If they have the same families coming every year to work in the same crops and then they go back to their country every year, why does that have to be, some huge bureaucratic nightmare? If you talk to the high-tech guys, they say they need H-1B reform so they can get the skilled workers they need overseas. And you say we shouldn't be sending back highly skilled entrepreneurial immigrants who want to stay here, grow businesses, create wealth. We should have reform there. I mean, there are lots of, if you talk to Irish guys, who've got a lot of relatives who are trying to get a path to citizenship here, they'll tell you the same thing. I think there's what everybody's looking for is a solution. And what everybody knows is that it has to be fair. It has to be fair to people in the sense that if you broke our laws, there's got to be a price to pay. And so what I've said is if you've broken the law, you got to pay your debt, you got to get in the back of the line, you got to get right with the law, you got to keep your nose clean. And if you do all those things and we think you're here for the right reasons, then we can allow you a path to legalization and citizenship. But it's got to be fair, and it's got to be fair to the people who've been doing it the right way. And I've supported certainly stuff around Dreamers, or kids who were brought here through no fault of their own. We ought to have a different, a slightly easier path for them since they didn't break the law, their parents did. And there are common sense pieces of this we've got to get done. But what people got to know is that my view, my starting point on this, is that like my family, like a lot of people's families, people who come here are typically looking to make a better life, and they are overwhelmingly, I believe, industrious and hardworking and entrepreneurial. And if we get them away to get right with the law, pay their debt, pay a fine, get in the back of the line, then we want this young energy, we want this entrepreneurial spirit, we want to grow our population and our economy. It's what's always worked in America, And we should get going on this. And the Chamber of Commerce and the Wall Street Journal editorial page and the Evangelical Church and the Catholic Church all agree with you know, more liberal or progressive elements coming at it from a different angle that we got to get through on this. And there was a good bipartisan solution out of the Senate. We should have done it. It wasn't perfect, but it would have been better.
Let me go to another place. Americans are very worried about their data. Day after day, there's another breach. So I go in the middle of the night to my bank account, and I like to look and see if anybody has been charging me for things that, and we hear about this. NPR did a huge story on it the other day. So can you offer any of us any hope that we can do something about these breaches?
Well, you know, I think I think if you're like most of us, the problem is not the breaches. It's the stuff you signed up for that you didn't know they were going to charge out of your account every month for the rest of your life. And you have to be very vigilant on that.
That too.
And, you know, whether your kids are using your iTunes account or not, which is what I deal with. But look, I think on the breaches and the more serious stuff, people need to know. I really do believe we have a Pearl Harbor moment coming on cyber in general. We have a 9/11 moment, and I don't want to frighten people, but I do believe it's important that we all realize that the next major threat to our country, I believe, will be cyber-based. And we saw the attack on Sony Pictures, which in some ways was a fire drill, right? In some ways it was an example of what can happen in a context where most of us wouldn't be too affected by it. But it ought to wake us up, because if you talk to folks from Con Ed, from Central Hudson, or from NYSEG or Orange and Rockland Utilities, they're going to tell you that they worry a lot about cyber. We passed a bill a few weeks back in the House that will allow better data sharing between private entities and the government. About 80% of this infrastructure is in the private sector, but a lot of the best intelligence, of course, is classified, and it's in the intelligence agencies. I spent a day at the National Security Agency recently out in the JSOC Center there, where they do all their monitoring of this stuff. And I will tell you, without getting into classified information, that we need to share what we already know about the attacks coming in, about the type of malware we see, more broadly and more intelligently with the private sector, so that we can prevent this stuff. And we need to do it before we get hit, before we have a real problem. I'd like to see this stuff elevated in the next administration. I think there ought to be a cabinet-level cyber position in the next Democratic or Republican administration. It shouldn't matter. There ought to be much greater coordination and attention to this. We will see cyber warfare. We're already seeing it. And we need to be ready for it. And we need to. This is one where you got to get the private sector involved, because they're the ones on the front line.
Is it your sense that this can be done? Go ahead.
Yes. The good news is we have extraordinary capacities in the United States government, and we are not defenseless. I think part of the problem is that we have not been clear to our adversaries, some of which are state actors and some of them are non-state actors. But we have not been clear to our adversaries what our red lines are on this. If someone puts a bomb inside an American company, you know, no one would doubt that that's an act of war if it was done by a state actor. And yet if they launch a cyber attack, and depending on the type of cyber attack, you know, these can cost lives, they can be very dangerous, it is not clear what our response would be. I would like to see the United States government be very clear about what constitutes an attack on the United States, what constitutes an attack on our interests, just the way we do in a physical kinetic context, like a bomb or a plane or a missile. We need to make clear to these adversaries that if they hit us, they're going to get hit back, and we will be successful at preventing them if they are clear that they will pay a very intense price if they hit us.
We know who they are?
We absolutely know who we are. There's only about three or four nations on Earth: the Russians, the Iranians, North Koreans in particular. Are the ones with the best capabilities on this. And then there's some other non-state actors. But those are really the nations that we should be most concerned about.
Always great to talk to Sean Patrick.
And of course, and I should add the Chinese, although the Chinese tend to attack us in more of a commercial context. But those nations in particular need to be on notice.
Always great to talk to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. Keep it up, Sean. Keep going.
Thanks, Alan.